Hello, hope you're doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. When we talk about health, we cannot discuss complete health without talking about our mental health. On this program, we highlight mental health issues in our community and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we're discussing the role of support groups in recovering and living with a mental health condition. We have with us Aaliyah Dougal and Dana Green, NAMI members and facilitators for the Connection Recovery Support Group here in Ashland and in Medford. Good morning, Aaliyah and Dana. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Hi. Good morning.
Yeah. So let's get started with telling us a little bit about the Connection Support Group and how you got started with the Connection Support Group. Do we start with you, Dana? How did you get started with the Connection Support Group?
Well, let's see. About last year, I think I was just looking for some more peer support surrounding just going through depression and looked online and found the group and came in.
Awesome. And Aaliyah, how did you find your first Connection Support Group?
Well, it was way back in the dark ages of the 2000s in California. And I was diagnosed in 2006, and I was pretty lonely for those first couple years. And then I finally found the NAMI chapter down there. And then through that, in about 2008, and through that, a friend of mine was running a connection group there. And I remember it was the NAMI was meeting in behind an old Methodist church that had this beautiful garden in the middle of this big city. And so we had this like every Thursday from like 12 to 1. This was the time we had that group. We would sit in the sun under these trees in this beautiful garden. It was such a profound experience just to be in a place with other people that had mental health conditions and were living with it and trying to figure out how to live with it. Mm-hmm. It changed my life. It really helped me change my life and feel less alone.
Ah, excellent. So that comes to this question. What makes a NAMI support group different from other support groups for individuals living with mental health conditions?
I would say the peer connection, being able to troubleshoot with other members of the group when there's a goal you're working on and having that support from people who've been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how does joining a connection support group affect your mental health recovery? Aaliyah?
So the last year I've been helping to co-facilitate, and then way back when I did it as just a member, it helps feel less alone. I've seen in this last year with the people coming in that are regulars to the group, I've seen them find their voice, but also find ways to cope day to day. I've seen them at their low points. We've all seen them at their low points in this group, and then we've seen them at their high points. And through this process of coming to the group and being in a place where it's not therapy, we're not therapists, we're just listening and we're holding space, and then we're, you know, having a time to just discuss how to be a person with a mental health condition or mental health struggles. There's been progress just by being in that place. Mm-hmm. I've seen that with several of the people, whether, you know, the highs and then the lows that they've gone on. I know that there was a participant that comes regularly, and they were, before the last two sessions, they were kind of in a grumpy mood. And then by the end of it, just by being in that space and sharing, they were smiling and laughing, mm-hmm. and they'd loosened up.
So you could see the transformation
just in that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they felt safe enough to share why they were struggling and what was going on with them, and then they were able to release it and kind of move forward. And there's also a celebratory fact of it when someone shares something that they did, even if it's the smallest thing. We often clap for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that you know, even that small moment, or we just encourage them, like, hey, that's really good. You did that one thing. Good job. You know.
Yeah. So expand on that a little bit more about what are the biggest benefits to being in a group that is peer led, that understands the struggles on kind of a personal level. What's the biggest advantage to that?
Well, we all understand what each other are going through. And like Leo is saying, sometimes something that may seem insignificant to someone else is a significant goal mm-hmm. for us. And we need that encouragement and that support from people that understand.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the camaraderie that you have from this shared experience.
Yeah.
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 And you can develop that. So tell us a little bit about how the support group is structured. How does it work when you're there? Someone comes in. What do they experience?
So we have sort of like our agenda that we read of how we're going to start, how that runs through. And it's basically, you know, we read that every time. We read through this thing called the principles of support that's basically talking about just different aspects of mental health or mental recovery and what it means to be in a group. And we talk about confidentiality. And then they have usually 1 to 2 minutes of a share. We have these little timers. It's one's 1 minute, 2 minute. The group has been relatively small, so sometimes we do 3 minutes each. They get to do them. And during that time is sacred to them, where they get to share without being interrupted. And then from there, when everybody's done, we'll go into some form of a discussion, whether it's based on maybe one of the principles of support, or we have this other chart that's called the emotional stages of recovery. And we can look over, like, this is one that maybe you're struggling more, where you're learning to cope, or maybe you're moving into advocacy, and we talk about the needs or where we're at. And then we do just kind of a closing where we call it, you know, and mm-hmm. then people can hang out after we've done that and kind of fellowship a little.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about the principles of support and the stages of emotional recovery. So what resources or tools do you guys provide, or does the Connection Support Group provide to help people continue their journey outside of the support group?
Well, we have pamphlets that NAMI has given us, whether it's just NAMI specifically or about certain diagnoses. And then, or if there's NAMI events or other events coming up, we'll have that laid out. There's a local low-income counseling center that I happen to frequent, so I got a bunch of stack of those, so if they need a counselor.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys share resources like that? Like share psychiatrists, share therapists, share treatment ideas? Do you share those kinds of things in the support group?
Or? I wouldn't share like details like that, but like I'll just have like a little flyer, that, mm-hmm. you know, and I just happen to have them, so I just lay it out, uh-huh. you know.
So people can share whatever resources they have available.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And yeah. then they feel like, oh, I do need a therapist. Let me take that, and they could set it up on their own, but I mm-hmm. wouldn't. I don't think it would be right for me to like advocate for one. Or a therapist over and over, but it just happens to be they had. If there was like another therapy office like that, uh-huh. I know there were others. I would include those.
Right,
it just happens to be. But I think that's something that is like because that's without being too much of an advocate, it's like having all those brochures that list like the different types of diagnosis, or especially having pamphlets about NAMI, which is I should advocate for that. Mm-hmm. It's ways that they can take it home in action. And then like the NAMI pamphlets has lots of things, resources for, you know, here's a number you can call mm-hmm. if you're in trouble here. Sure. Why, you know, so that's important.
You're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck of NAMI Southern Oregon. We're speaking with Dana Green and Leah Dougal about the connection support groups that they facilitate and are a part of. So, speaking of diagnoses, who is welcome in the Connection Support Group in terms of diagnosis or that sort of thing?
Everyone.
Everyone. Anyone with any mental health condition.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they don't need to have a formal diagnosis. That's something that's new.
Okay.
Like, I think when I went in California, it was a little bit more restricted to people with diagnosis. But now I like that you don't have to have a diagnosis, mm-hmm. a formal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling mm-hmm. or think, you know, you have something, then yes, come. Mm-hmm.
So that's a way that the NAMI Connection Support Group has evolved. Are there other ways that it has evolved or changed over the years?
Yeah, I don't think in the early days when I did it way back in California, there wasn't the principles of support, emotional stages mm-hmm. of recovery. It was more just coming together and having some time to share and then maybe a little discussion. I wasn't a trained facilitator, but I don't remember any of that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. Just like anything, I did the inner own voice back then and then I retrained for it and that's changed as well.
Okay. So the training has evolved as well to help be more supportive. Okay, super. And what challenges do you face when you're running the support group? What are some things that are challenging to you guys? It's pretty seamless.
Have you come across challenges?
Have you come across challenges?
I mean, I think just like when I first started, I was really, really nervous mm-hmm. Starting something new and then being like a facilitator of that. So it was really, that was what it was, just that feeling of like
the
vulnerability.
Nerves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the nerves. Yeah.
And having to be in that sort of leadership role where
And not, you know, like, yeah, I haven't really had too many challenges with people like getting upset or needing some support that we can't. It's the group is pretty small, so that it's kind of nobody's had anything that requires some real attention. It's just been kind of a group support thing when somebody feels, which is nice, that the group can help me kind of encourage that person.
So stigma is a big thing when it comes to mental health conditions. How does the Connection Support Group, how do you think that helps to break down stigma surrounding mental health?
Well, it's a place we can go to share support for each other. And I think just being in that environment helps eliminate some of the stigma that you feel from people who may not understand that experience. Mm-hmm. And you just feel less alone. Mm-hmm.
You see that there's other people in the same boat. It's not so isolating.
Absolutely.
In California, and this is where it began, and it was really impactful for me to be in a place where, I mean, we literally called it coming out in the way that coming out with saying that we have a diagnosis. Stigma was even bigger than it is now, in the sense that you weren't able, even in the 2000s, to admit that you had any sort of diagnosis other than maybe depression or a little depression, but even that. And so it was huge to go to a place where I could be among other people and say, I have this diagnosis, and be out, coming out. And that was so huge. And to not be judged or feel like their job is at jeopardy or something like that. Right. Yeah.
And you still maintain confidentiality, which is probably important as well.
Yeah. And we don't often, like, they don't need to share their diagnosis when they share. They don't need to say anything because they're, or what they're struggling with. So what's shared there stays there. Mm-hmm.
So for someone who was hesitant to join the Connection Support Group, what would you say to encourage them to give it a try?
That's a good question. I think just the level of stress it relieves for me. Being able to have a place to go where people understand makes it worth it. So if I were to say to someone that was hesitant, trying to encourage them to come in, I would just say that it overall helps your well-being, helps you feel better, gives you a place to go where people understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also say that if they come, they don't have to share. They don't have to do, they're not required to do the share. They can just sit and listen.
Observe.
And just be there. That's a big part is, I mean, even for me, I have anxiety when it comes to, like, starting new things. I want to keep my schedule a certain way and want to know where I'm going. And so I think other people with mental health conditions have that. Starting something new is hard. And it's hard to be vulnerable and just come and just sit.
Yeah. Give it a try.
Just be there. Yeah. And so, you'll be,
So how can people join a Connection Support Group? When does it happen? Where does it happen? How do they get involved?
It's free to the public.
Well, so you just show up?
Yeah, free to show up. We've had it at the Compass House, and then we're starting every first and third Thursday at the Community Counseling Center in Ashland, and then the other two Thursdays still at the Compass House in Medford from 6 to 7 p.m.
Okay. And so there's no need to register or anything. You can just come. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And so I always like to ask people about self-care strategies, because we hear a lot about self-care. And I bet you talk about self-care in your support group. What are some of your favorite self-care strategies?
I personally like to take baths with bath bombs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice and scented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds, aromatherapy. I think for me, it's just kind of a daily, like, the basics. Have I had enough sleep? Mm-hmm. Do I need to have a little, like, rest sometime during the day? Am I eating, like, regularly? Mm-hmm. And am I exercise? I have a gym membership now, so I try to actually go there, like, once a day. And I think those are the basic ones. Mm-hmm. If I have those on board. And then also, am I taking my medication, supplements, all that? Like, but okay. Once I have those on board, everything else
falls in place.
Going to support groups and all that falls in place, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today about support groups. Leah and Dana, really appreciate it. You can find more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. This is Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck, and I thank you for joining us today. You can find this and other interviews at jeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.